We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome, my friends. Thank you for joining us. It is Monday, the 16th day of August, 2010. Coming up in the third hour, we have our once-a-month visit with Max Keiser live to break down all the huge announcements in the economy, like the Chicago Tribune reporting that government is preparing to take all or part of pension funds. We'll be discussing the Hindenburg omen that we've seen time and time again with stock market crashes, with top analysts at major banks like Societal General saying that they believe there's going to be a major stock market crash in the next few months. There's also incredible developments dealing with Iran. The neocons are out in full force right now, calling for war with Iran. And Ray McGovern, of course, a month ago said he believed that there was a very good chance the attack had been green-lighted for August. And now, unfortunately, it looks like they are seriously considering Israel launching an attack and then dragging the United States into it. That is all coming up. We have a special guest joining us who's only joined us one time in the past, about 2 years ago. And we were contacted again, and they are coming on the broadcast in T-minus 30 minutes. But I will not announce the special guest until they are here with us. But this is very important and extremely newsworthy. This will be a newsmaker. You can bet your bottom dollar on that. But Max Keiser joining us coming up in the third hour. Special guest joining us for 1 hour in T-minus 30 minutes. Exactly T-minus 30 minutes, 40 seconds. He will be joining us, our special guest. And I've got all of my important questions here in front of me today. Let's go ahead and just read some of the headlines dealing with Iran first. Reuters: Iran says that they are to push ahead with new enrichment plants, and the Russians are set at the end of the week to deliver the uranium, the peaceful uranium that cannot be used in weapon systems, to them. But the media is engaged in the West in a giant hoax saying that it is for weapons, even though Iran has tried to give their uranium to Brazil, Turkey, France, and others for them to enrich the other half. The Russians have one half of it. They wanted to give basically all of their remaining uranium to the West and say, fine, you enrich it for reactors, knowing we can't then use it for fissile material and nukes. And their answer is, no, we're going to attack you. Give me a document cam shot, guys. This gentleman, for PrisonPlanet.tv viewers, this gentleman, about 4 months ago, called me from the Atlantic, Jeffrey Goldberg, and he said, I want to come interview you for a big piece I'm doing. But he said it may take 6 months to write it. And I looked him up and found out he was basically Israeli intelligence and had worked in the IDF and also worked at prisons in Israel. And that he was one of the main people pushing the disinfo on WMDs in Iraq in the lead up to that invasion 7 years ago in 2003. And so when an ambassador from the neocons wants to visit you, you don't say no. I knew I was being assessed. And interesting meeting, to say the least. I mean, that shows you how we're under the microscope here with these people, that they would dispatch one of the chief neocons to interview me. A neocon preps U.S. for war with Iran. That's Ray McGovern. We're going to get him on the next few days, dealing with the Atlantic writer Jeffrey Goldberg. Kurt Nimmo's got a headline, Iran attack this week, with a question mark. And we've got Fox News and others reporting that they're getting ready for an attack, with Bolton hyping it. Stay with us.
We are on the march. The Empire is on the run. Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
It's Monday, 16th day of August, 2010. I'm Alex Jones, your host. Max Keiser coming up the third hour with his monthly visit. Always informative in the third hour. Few guests give me butterflies, but this is a very serious person we've got coming on in about 22 minutes from now. I'll just leave it as a surprise when they join us. But there couldn't be a better time to have this individual on than today with all that's happening in the world, in the Middle East, in Central Asia, Afghanistan, and, of course, Pakistan. I'll just leave it at that. Coming up in about 22 minutes from now. So we see massive drum beating going on for an attack on Iran. And Ray McGovern, former top CIA analyst to Ronald Reagan and George Herbert Walker Bush, said that he believed Cheney was going to stage a Gulf of Tonkin event 3.5 years ago. And it came out 6 months later that he did just that, tried to paint up U.S. patrol boats like Iranian boats to have them attack U.S. ships. So when he talks, I listen. And he said his intel is that they have more than 50-50 chance that they've green-lighted, to a certain extent, an attack to take place against Iran, led by the Israelis, in mid to late August. Well, it's now mid-August. It's now the 16th day of August. There is a full court press that Iran is about to get nuclear weapons and may use them any minute. It's almost an exact replay, instant replay, of the propaganda that led to the bombardment and the subsequent invasion and the 7-year mass murder and slaughter and wargaming, martial law training that Iraq has been used for, kicking off, of course, in 2003. So we are on the verge of something very, very serious. Iran has 70 million people, not 23 million. They have a lot more high-tech weapons, and they're better organized militarily and historically than Iraq, and will surely block the Strait of Hormuz, bare minimum. The terror attacks that are launched, whether manufactured or real, will be used to clamp down on the global corporate crime syndicate's real enemies, the people of the West. The entire architecture of their attack system is pointed at we the people. They just use outside threats as the smokescreen to launch these expanded takeovers. Iran will build uranium enrichment centers, nuclear chief says. Tehran, CNN, Iran plans to begin construction of 10 uranium enrichment centers across the country by next year. State-run media is quoted Iran's nuclear chief as saying. Continuing, here is an article by Ray McGovern from Consortium News, posted at PrisonPlanet.com and Infowars.com. Neocons prep U.S. for war with Iran. I guess I was naive in thinking that The Atlantic and its American-Israeli writer Jeffrey Goldberg might shy away from arguing for yet another war, this one with Iran, while the cauldrons are still boiling in Afghanistan and Iraq. It's worth remembering how Goldberg helped to make the case for the U.S. invasion of Iraq, for instance, the October 3rd, 2002, as America's war fever was building. Goldberg wrote in Slate, the online magazine, and he was put on all the big news shows, that the Bush administration is planning to launch what many people would undoubtedly call a short-sighted and inexcusable act of aggression. In 5 years, however, I believe that the coming invasion of Iraq will be remembered as an act of profound morality. Looking back on Goldberg's commentaries at the time, it's also a reminder of how many U.S. publications that are considered centrist or even liberal were bending over backwards to get in line with the coming invasion. Even earlier, on March 25th, 2002, Goldberg filed the pages of The New Yorker with a mammoth 17,000-word story hyping Iraqi leader Saddam Hussein's ties to terrorism, including al-Qaeda, which of course was false, and glossing over the ambiguities regarding the gassing of civilians in Kurdish city during the Iran-Iraq war. Goldberg's magnum opus, entitled The Great Terror, earned him high marks from other neocons and essentially made Goldberg's career. The story was also made to order, so to speak, for President George W. Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney. Presenting Goldberg with an award for his article, the Overseas Press Club saw fit to note that the former CIA director James Woolsey described the story as blockbuster. Woolsey, the self-described anchor of the Presbyterian wing of the JINSA, the Jewish Institute for National Securities Affairs, has been a strong advocate for the use of force against any and all perceived enemies of Israel. Woolsey also was the prime manufacturer and the key disseminator of bogus intelligence on Saddam's al-Qaeda connection. The New Yorker article, while exaggerating Iraq's links to terrorism, Goldberg quotes Woolsey complaining about the CIA's alleged aversion to learning about Saddam's ties to al-Qaeda, because it wasn't true. It is safe bet that Goldberg's prose under the subhead, the al-Qaeda link, was inspired by Woolsey, but it gets worse. The details in that section came mostly from a drug dealer in a Kurdish prison whom British journalists following up Goldberg's reporting quickly determined to be a, quote, liar. And then he goes on to talk about how Goldberg is now on television and in new articles promoting a new war. It is a lengthy, detailed report breaking down the history of this criminal war they launched 7.5 years ago, and it gets into how they're launching the exact same propaganda, just changing the last letter of Iraq with a Q to Iran with an N. The last part of the story says, pitching for war. Goldberg's mission this time, pitching war with Iran. This time, Goldberg and the Israelis want us to buy into all of their propaganda without a valid major premise. Their argument presupposes that Iran has made the decision to develop nuclear weapons and is hard at work on such a program, which is why they want Americans to believe whether there's evidence or not. The fawning corporate media, FCM, and the neocons who brought us the war in Iraq and, of course, the president himself, speak as though Iran has restarted work on nuclear weapons, part of their nuclear energy program. Then he goes on to document how that is not the case, now how they've tried to get their uranium enriched outside the country so that it can be proven that it's not weapons grade, how the Russians isn't anywhere near weapons grade, and how they're claiming now that when the Russians deliver this uranium, that they're going to be able to have nuclear weapons, so they've got to launch a new attack now. Joint Chiefs Chairman Admiral Mike Mullen and CENTCOM Commander William Fox Fallon have been living in fear of Cheney's inspired order to commit U.S. forces to war with Iran. Fallon actually had told retired Colonel Patrick Lang a few months before Fallon was removed, "We are not going to do Iran on my watch." Fear? Yes, fear, an altogether sensible reaction. No commander worth his salt looks at the prospect of being brought in to the receiving end of an order that could decimate his troops and lead to a wider war for which his forces would not be adequate. On a moral basis, no commander wants to be faced with the choice between having to resign on principle on the one hand and carrying out an order that he knows to be fatefully misguided on the other. Good sense prevailed over Cheney's strong objections, and Bush sent Mullen to Israel in June 2008 with intentions and instructions to warn the Israelis in no uncertain terms not to provoke war with Iran. And now he goes into how they're rewriting history about what happened, claiming they went to Iraq to bring democracy, not that they went into Iraq lying about WMDs. Now, we've gone over that report. Continuing, here is the report from Kurt Nimmo at Infowars.com. And it has the accompanying video clips in the article. Iran attack this week. Former interim UN ambassador and leading neocon John Bolton went on Fox News on Friday and sounded the alarm bells over Russia's pending delivery of nuclear fuel to Iran's Bashir reactor. If Israel plans to attack Bashir, Bolton said, it must act now because allowing the Russians to load nuclear fuel rods at the site will make Iran essentially immune from attack by Israel, because once the rods in the reactor are in place, an attack on the reactor risks spreading radiation in the air and perhaps into the water of the Persian Gulf. The fuel will be loaded on August 21st. This is the start of the physics launch of the reactor, said Sergei Nakhov, a spokesman for Rostom, the Russian Energy State Nuclear Corporation. From that moment, the Bashir plant will be officially considered a nuclear energy installation. Russia is currently operating under a $1 billion contract with Iran and has worked for over a decade on the reactor that I would add is peaceful. Scrolling up on the article, you can see the Fox News propaganda piece where they are preparing the public for this new war. As a signatory to the Nuclear Nonproliferation Treaty, Iran has the right to build nuclear reactors for its civil energy needs. By the way, they import around half, just about half their gasoline because they don't have the refineries. They're too expensive. They have lots of oil, but not enough refineries. And so they need this power for electricity. They're not allowed to have it. Iran has long claimed its nuclear program is for peaceful power-generated purposes and would help free up oil and gas resources for export, thus generating additional hard currency revenues. Bolton and the neocons refuse to accept that the facility will produce nuclear energy and insist it will be used to create nuclear weapons. According to Bolton, once the reactor is operational, it is only a matter of time before it begins producing plutonium that could be used in a nuclear weapon. And, to quote him, in the normal operation of the reactor, in just a short period of time, you could get substantial amounts of plutonium to use as nuclear weapons, Bolton told Fox. So they are talking about needing to strike Iran in the next 6 to 7 days before they load the fuel rods, because if you bomb an active nuclear site, it will create something bigger than Chernobyl and rain down radiation all over Asia. We are back live again. Thank you for joining us on this live Monday edition. We will talk more later in the broadcast about the situation with Iran, but I did want to get into a press release put out by Harvard University. Harvard University Fund sells all Israeli holdings. Any holdings, any investments in Israeli-based companies, Harvard has sold them and is moving more into communist Chinese holdings. All these major universities, just like other quasi-governmental institutions, like the University of Texas at Austin, have tens of billions of dollars of investments. And a lot of these investments, of course, they were pushed into buying by Bernie Madoff and others. But in another blow to Israeli shares, the Harvard Management Company notified the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission, the SEC, on Friday that it had sold all its holdings in Israeli companies during the second quarter of 2010. What's going to happen to Israeli companies if World War III starts in the Middle East with Iran? No reason for the sale was mentioned. The Harvard Management Company manages Harvard University's endowment. Harvard Management Company stated that it's in its 13F form that it sold 483,590 shares in Teva Pharmacological Industries, LTD, NICE Systems, Checkpoint Software Technologies, Partner Communications, Celicom Israeli, and a whole bunch of other companies. Harvard Management Company, 13F form shows some investing trends in its largest holdings, each worth $295 million, or iShares, ETFs, one with Chinese equities and the other on emerging markets. Harvard also owns $181 million in Brazilian ETF. So that's some of the other foreign holdings. They have billions and billions in their endowment. Last time I checked UT, it was over $50 billion in their endowment. But they're raising the tuition cost and raising parking fees and raising the dorm cost. All these major universities are. And you go get a $100,000 degree and then it's near worthless for you. So we'll be talking more about that. But why would Harvard and many other institutions be completely divesting in Israel? Well, because a full-out war in the Middle East, Israel is sure to be attacked by Syria, by Lebanon, and by other countries in the region as part of a large war. And even if Israel comes out victorious using their nuclear weapons, it is going to destroy much of the industry and tourism in that region. But Obama and the globalists, to get their world government established, need this political smokescreen. Because in Israel and the United States and England, if we're in a major war, most people will still rally around the government as if it is the flag, as if it is the country, as if that is what is patriotic when our governments have been seized by criminal interest. And what did Robert Shapiro and many others say in the last month in the Times of London and other publications, including the Financial Times and Associated Press? They said Obama needs a new Oklahoma City or 9/11 event so that he can look strong and have a political distraction going into the November elections. And his approval rating continues to plunge every week. Within 6 months of being in office, he's now been in for almost a year and a half, or now over a year and a half, been in since January of last year. So that's over a year and a half. Within 6 months, he had the lowest approval rating of any president 6 months in. Now it's the lowest of any president a year and a half in. He's breaking records. And their whole agenda is in trouble. It's all or nothing. They've committed so many crimes with looting pension funds and tens of trillions in bailouts to private banks and all the no-bid contracts and the $4-plus trillion missing at the Pentagon under Clinton, Bush, and now Obama. All of their crimes are coming out. Patriots, anti-globalists, are winning elections at the state and federal level. In every major primary, the establishment candidates are losing. The system knows there's a major political realignment happening globally, and they are panicking big time right now. So they want to escalate wars in the Middle East. They want to go into Iran. They want to bombard Iran. They lied for the last 2 years and said U.S. forces and Halliburton contractors were not in Pakistan. 3 weeks ago, they admitted, okay, we've got massive contractors there. They need these wars as distractions and their big payoffs to the military-industrial complex as well. We're going to go to break. We're going to come back with a very interesting and informative guest. This is going to be a major newsmaker. Lieutenant General Hamid Ghul will be joining us from Pakistan on the other side of this quick break. Of course, when the WikiLeaks documents came out, I said it looked like propaganda within those battlefield reports, and that's what the general says as well.
Crashing through the lies and disinformation, it's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, my friends, for the next hour, joining us from Pakistan is Lieutenant General Hamid Ghul. You've seen the mainstream media say that he's, quote, quarterbacking and commanding all the attacks on our forces in Afghanistan and Pakistan. Of course, from my research, this is not the case. He was the big hero, the Pakistani general, the head of the ISI, who led the attacks against the Soviet invasion. And let me read over his bio, then he'll be with us for the next hour. Hamid Ghul was commissioned in the Pakistani Army in 58. He was an Armored Corps 19 Lancers tank commander in major battles on the front with India in 1965. During 72 to 76, he directly served under another top general as battalion commander when General Zia was the GOC, 1st Armored Division, and commander of the 2nd Corps. It goes on, Ghul was promoted to Brigadier General in 1978 and steadily rose to be commander of the 1st Armored Division in 1980. Ghul was then sent to the GHQ as the DG Military Intelligence under a top general, who then nominated him as the ISI chief, succeeding another general in March of 1987. He was later replaced by ISI commander by Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto in May of 1989. He was then transferred to commander of the 2nd Corps. In this capacity, General Ghul conducted the Zarb-e-Moham military exercise in November, December of 89, the biggest Pakistani armed forces show of muscle since 71, Indo-Pakistan war, until now. So he's been a frontline commander and, of course, a general and the head of Pakistani intelligence. And I won't go any further. I've got an huge laundry list of things to talk about with the general. 2 years ago when they had the Mumbai attacks, he came on the show and said the evidence shows it was staged by British, Israeli, U.S. intelligence. It's now come out in the Chicago Tribune with the headline that U.S. agent was the head of that attack. The head of Indian intelligence also said the West led the false flag attack to blame it on Pakistan and to get Pakistan and India fighting again. That's how they play them off against each other. Hamid Ghul has also questioned the official story of 9/11. He's also going to give us his expert take on why the U.S. is, quote, failing in its war in Afghanistan. And he joins us now for a full hour. Lieutenant General Hamid Ghul, thank you for joining us.
And thank you. My greetings to all your audience, please.
Why did you agree to come on this broadcast, General?
Well, basically because my version is not going out to America. I have been denied the visa to travel to America. And these people would not let me into America because they're afraid that I will speak the truth. People will listen to the truth, and then they would find out that these people have made a mess of the American plans. They are actually deceiving their own people. The American generals are failing. The American intelligence is a disaster. And they know that I will speak in their idiom, and because I worked with them, I've done my intelligence course. You did not mention it in my career record. I did an intelligence course in Okinawa when I was a captain under the U.S. Army. And I know exactly where the failings are, and they do not want it exposed. But lately, I was quite concerned because I was on Fareed Zakaria's show, GPS, from 2 weeks back, or maybe 10, 12 days back. And also with Becky Anderson, and they cut me out totally. Not Becky Anderson, but Fareed Zakaria, he recorded me for 30 minutes, but he put out only 6 minutes of my version. So that is not fair because I was informed, and especially the things that I said, which were stark realities, and he wanted, obviously, to keep the American people in dark about these things. Failings which are going on in Afghanistan of the American policy, of the American military generals, they are failing in every possible respect. This is my academic position, and I am prepared to face any general in America, any people in the academia that, look, this is what is going wrong. I am a friend of American people. I criticize their policy, and they think that anyone who criticizes the policy is the enemy. This is totally wrong. This is a misperception. We work together with the CIA. We work together with the Americans. I have a lot of friends there. I respect them. And my advice could also be useful even at this time because nobody understands the Afghan society better than I do because I worked with them. I read their soul. I read their spirit. And I know, I respect those people. I admire their courage and their valor. They have to be your friends. It's period. I'm telling you, you cannot afford to lose Afghanistan as a friendly country. But unfortunately, the way things are going, if they are not handled properly, the future of Afghanistan would be hostile to America, which would neither be in the interest of Pakistan nor in the interest of America and its allies.
But, General, it would be in the interest of the global crime syndicate known as the New World Order that wants to bring order out of chaos, that wants to create crises, that wants to destabilize Pakistan and Afghanistan and ship hundreds of billions of dollars of opium out a year to the streets of America. They think we're so stupid, they admit on Fox News that our troops help grow the opium in Afghanistan now. So the reasons we're there, we're publicly told one thing, but we're actually there for another reason, destabilization. I want you to speak to that and see if you agree. But first, You are live, uncensored. What do you want to tell the American people on more than 80 AM and FM radio stations and the number one internet radio show in the world? What do you want to tell the world about what's really happening in Afghanistan and Pakistan? Because just 3 weeks ago, they finally admitted that they had been lying and that U.S. advisors, troops, and mercenaries, Blackwater and others, have been operating illegally inside Pakistan in what I have analyzed to be a destabilization campaign. What's really going on over there, General?
Well, we know that Blackwater, now operating under the title of Z Worldwide Services, and DenCorp, which is another such organization, they are called the security contractors. This is a fundamental fault. There are 105,000 security contractors, the troopers of the security contractors, operating in Afghanistan alone. And I guess there are no figures available. I think no less than 2,000 are operating inside Pakistan. Now, this is something which ought never have to be done, because the reason is that the professional armies, when they start engaging the services of civilians whose motivation is none other than making money and cashing dollars, then you can expect the kind of results that the Americans are getting. And American people, the taxpayers, they have to shuck out a lot of money. A lot of American blood is going waste. Now, all this is a disaster, because and now the latest one is the WikiLeaks. In this, again, all the compilation that they have been doing, on which they have been basing their plans, I tell you, it's a disaster. It's an intelligence disaster. Why? Because they have heavily dependent, they have depended on the security contractors for even intelligence gathering. Now, imagine, how can they be such foolish people? I mean, the CIA, the FBI, and all the other, and the to top it all, there is this Task Force 373, which has been indulging in massive civilian casualties. They've been killing people left, right, and center, and every time they have given the information, they have bombed the marriage parties, they have bombed the funeral procession, they have bombed innocent, and they have even bombed the hospitals. So can you imagine that the intelligence based on the information provided by security contractors has resulted in this massive violation of human rights? It has been anti-humanity. It has destroyed everything that American people and American constitution ever stood for. It has defied the spirit of the original charter of America, American constitution and human rights charter. Everything that you hold so dear to your heart, the American people, they have violated it here in Pakistan and Afghanistan.
General, let me go back to something you said. I'm going to put it in layman terms. You have tens of billions of dollars in no-bid contracts going to DynCorp, going to XZ, formerly Blackwater, Blackwater Worldwide. They have a incentive to want the wars to continue and to be expanded, because they're making billions of dollars out of it. So of course they're going to give intelligence to blame Pakistan and widen the war. Of course they're going to give intelligence that targets civilians, knowing that there is the honor code in Pakistan and Afghanistan, just like there was in the past here in America before we lost our souls to a certain extent, that if you kill somebody's wife or children, they are going to kill you or die trying to kill you with this blood honor debt. That's why they continue. And now they admit, have the CIA and the Army piloting drones from Virginia, and they are killing, quote, in fact, guys, search this term, no name terrorist. If someone has a gun, when everybody has guns over there, it's, you know, so-called free country like America used to be, and they are killing innocent people, knowing it's going to stir them up and make them mad, so they fight back, then they can call them terrorist, then they can expand the war, then the contractors can make more money.
Precisely, Alex. This is exactly, you have painted it so beautifully and so vividly, there could not be a better explanation. This honor code is as old as the Afghan society itself. I mean, it runs through their blood for past 5,000 years. And Pakhtun Wali is an honor code. This evokes even stronger sentiments than the religion. Therefore, these people are not going to forgive all this. And I am afraid that we will have lost this region forever to America, to the West. And this will not be good for us. I agree. I think it is still time that we redress the situation and some sense is driven into the heads which seem to be totally blocked to or impervious to any kind of sensible suggestion. But I think we must keep on trying. I think this is the last lap and in which we are now going. And this struggle is going to end in a very big disaster for American reputation, for their honor, for their self-respect, and we don't want to have this done. I can assure you, I genuinely am telling this because American people are such noble people. Sometimes they say they are so gullible and they are so innocent that this borders on being criminally innocent. Because of their innocence, we are suffering. We are suffering for no rhyme or reason at all, but because American people's gullibility, their innocence is exploited by their leaders, that is why we suffer and they suffer as well. So I think this is time now we redress the situation.
Well, General, as you know, this is the divide and conquer British model. You had Mohammad Mossadegh, somewhat secular, pro-Western, but he wanted to build up Iran and keep some of their own money. So they used radical Muslims to overthrow him. Then they put the Shah in and double-crossed the Muslims. Then the same thing with the Serbs. They used the Albanians to break up southern Serbia. Same thing with Saddam. They put him in power. They have him overthrow the Ba'athist. They put him in power. They have him attack Iran. Then they tell him invade Kuwait. Then they set him up. Now they've set up sectarian Sunni Shiite violence. Everything is to break down and destabilize your countries. I mean, so there is a rhyme and reason to this. It's just so cold-blooded and so evil, the average person cannot grasp it.
Yeah, that's right, Alex. I think American policymakers have, for their own reason, I don't know. I have not been able to fathom that as yet. But they have allowed the old British mischievous mind to lead American policymaking by the nose. And I can tell you, I know them, I worked with them, I did my staff course there in Camberley in the UK, and I know them inside out. They are extremely jealous of America. They do not want to see America flourish. Inside their heart, they want to pull their leg. They make fool of them, and they talk about it. They have coined jokes for the Americans. So this has to be done away with. That is fundamental. The other power, which for its own reason, and those are very mischievous reasons, that is Israel. And Israel now is joined in by the Indians, unfortunately. So together they form the club. That club is, you can call it the extra or ultra imperial club. This imperial club is responsible for a lot of problems in the world. And American people are exploited. They are the most innocent people on God's earth. But they are exploited to the hilt for that implementation of their dark impulse and their dark agenda, which is only a handful of people. There is a clique only, in my assessment, who are indulging in this exercise.
General, let's get into WikiLeaks. I noticed day one that what the media focused on out of 90-plus thousand documents were documents, battlefield reports, as you said, fed by private contractors, classically unreliable, completely unreliable. It's like going to the devil, you know, for the truth. And it all points at Pakistan. It all points at you. It says that Hamid Ghul, here's the quote, is quarterbacking, this is the Washington Post, is quarterbacking direct attacks against U.S. forces in Afghanistan and Pakistan.
This is diabolical nonsense. And if this is the kind of intelligence that America is basing its policies on in this region, then God help America. Because this is totally false, it's fabricated. complicated, and I tell you who are the elements involved in it. One, the Afghan intelligence, and good luck that Amarullah Saleh, who was an old communist, who was heading the intelligence setup of Afghanistan, and the intelligence service there in Afghanistan is still infested by the old communist diehards. And they have an axe to grind, especially against me as a person, because I was responsible in part for their ouster from Afghanistan, from their ouster from power. Then the Indians have joined up with them, and they also have things to settle with Pakistan. They want to destabilize Pakistan. They're sitting on our back with the, under the shadow of Americans, and they're stabbing Pakistan, an ally, a friend of America. We have been friend not now, but we have been friend right through the days of Cold War, ever since Mr. Dulles, Foster Dulles, he framed the policy of befriending Pakistan. We have been a very loyal friend of America. And we have given huge sacrifices to uphold that friendship. But unfortunately, the Indians would have us put down completely. And they would want Pakistan to be subservient to India. This is not acceptable to people of Pakistan. Now, this is how WikiLeaks has been giving. Of course, there are only 180 reports with regard to Pakistan and my person. 8 times I've been mentioned in this. But I said to the CNN also, for heaven's sake, if you think that a 74-year-old general retired some 18 and a half years ago from the army and left ISI 21 years ago, if he's still responsible for defeating America in Afghanistan, which is inevitable because America is now, they have to countenance with defeat in Afghanistan. There is no way, and I will speak about it professionally at a later stage if you ask me. So if they are going to record it in history, in the history books, what are the American future generations going to read? That the mightiest power ever in the history of the mankind was defeated with the help of a retired 74-year-old general living in his house in retired life. I mean, this would be shameful. They would be ashamed of it. Let the future generation not be ashamed. Speak the truth that you have failed. You have failed because your own policymakers have not come up with the recipes that were required. Your own generals would not measure up to the task that was given to them. So why don't you accept the failure rather than rub the blame on somebody else and start finding scapegoats, and those two scapegoats which would not sell in the market? Please, for God's sake, as far as I am concerned, I can tell you my future generation will be proud that he was responsible not only in defeat of one superpower, but in defeat of another superpower also. But that's not the case. I don't want America to be defeated there. I want them to exit Afghanistan gracefully. I don't want them to get involved into a running fight in Afghanistan like they did in Vietnam. Why don't they learn their lesson? And in Vietnam also, it's not too far back in history, General Westmoreland, he was an utter failure. And he was such a big hero. He was being cast in the image of a hero. And he kept on demanding more and more troops. In the end, he had something like 556,000 troops, over 500,000 troops. And what did you do? I mean, they ran out from Vietnam. Why could they not have thought of it earlier on? And similar situation now confronts them in Afghanistan. So it's from my point of view, being a friend of America, I want that Americans should go out gracefully, leaving behind them a friendly Afghanistan. And it is possible. I can tell you it is doable. It is still doable. But tomorrow it may not be doable. Today it is doable from my point of view. As I assess the situation, it is doable. It is doable that Afghan society is allowed to evolve slowly into a modern society. That
okay.
is also doable.
General,
the way they are going, I think there will be no option left but to cut and run out of Afghanistan.
General, we just skipped that break, but some stations may have gone to it. We're talking to Lieutenant General Hamid Ghul, former head of Pakistani intelligence. And I want to get more into WikiLeaks. I want to go back to the Mumbai attack because you joined us a few years ago just a few weeks after that tragic event, and you fingered Western intelligence for staging it to stir up enmity between India and Pakistan, and as a pretext to bring U.S. forces covertly into Pakistan. We now know that was the case. I want to show viewers mainstream news here in the United States, including the Chicago Tribune and others, admitting that, quote, the head of that attack was a U.S. agent, and explain to people why they do this. And but first, let's get into a basic boil down from your military expertise and expert on the region, what the real policy, what the real objective has been by the United States being used by these globalists inside your country and bordering Afghanistan. A, what are they really doing there? What's their real aims versus their public aims? B, what has really happened in the 8 years of occupation? And C, where all this is going?
Yeah, 9 years of occupation now, 9 years of this dirty war which has been going on for a wrong purpose, at a wrong time, in a wrong place. Now, what is the real? The declared or the stated goal of the war was to disperse Al-Qaeda to catch Osama bin Laden. And now, lately, President Obama has come up with a new formulation, and that says that we have to reverse the momentum of Taliban. And who are Taliban? Taliban are resistance fighters. They are the Mujahideen of the old. I mean, they are the same people, or their sons and wards, who fought against the Soviet Union. And they are fighting for the same reason as they were fighting against the Soviet Union at that time. What is that reason? That reason is to protect their way of life. Whatever it is, you may not agree with that way of life, but the point is, as you are jealous of protecting your way of life, they are jealous of protecting their way of life. The other is liberation, because they look upon the Americans and the Allied forces as the occupation forces. And so they want to liberate. They will not settle for anything less than that. So really, you are fighting the Afghan nation. Do you want to reverse the momentum of the Afghan nation? Is it achievable? In my opinion, it is not achievable. It is not worth it. It is, first of all, it is not proper. It is not morally correct that you should be trying to straitjacket a nation, and as a nation as proud as the Afghans, in certain mold that you have visualized for them. This is immoral, this is incorrect, and it is not achievable. So the real aim, the hidden aim, the latent aim, I have been saying that before also, that was basically a for corporate America to install itself within the in the center of the oil rich area, the resources of the Caspian basin, Caspian Sea basin area, resources of the Middle East, B, to check China from moving into this region. That is the strategic aim, and C, to any new system should not emerge, because they are afraid that their system is a failure, and if any new system based on Islamic principles of egalitarian egalitarianism, equality, fraternity, and freedom, if these principles are really adopted, then imperial powers will have no place to hide. So really, this was the second, third aim. And fourth one, unfortunately, and very unfortunate for America, is to provide a security shield to the state of Israel. And with that, they want to strengthen India. Now imagine a country as big, as powerful, as enlightened as America should be acting to provide security to somebody else.
General Gould.
For what reason?
General Gould, got a break. Back in 70 seconds. Continue.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, for the last 30 minutes, retired Lieutenant General Hamid Gul has been our guest, former head of Pakistani intelligence. The Washington Post wrote, if the documents are to be believed, Now, the uncorroborated U.S. intelligence reports must be read with caution. So they add that this is just battlefield reports fed by contractors. Gull has taken a direct hand in quarterbacking attacks against U.S.-led forces in Afghanistan. Gull calls the reports fiction and nothing else. So this is a guy, from what I've seen, who's told the truth. I mean, I don't trust anybody except my wife and children and God. But I just go off long-term study, long-term looking at geopolitical systems, the British model of the great game that our country's adopted, how we're being used. I mean, for 5 years, U.S. troops and contractors have been sneaking around in Afghanistan, 9 years there, in Pakistan. And now they came out 3 weeks ago and admitted, okay, we lied to you. We got contractors and troops there. And, Gould said 2 years ago on this show they were there to stir up the tribal areas to destabilize Pakistan. And now that's admitted. I mean, these global corporations that suck us dry with these wars, they have a motive to expand these wars. So this is a short segment, General, but brief answers on this. Finishing up on Israel and the U.S. being used as a tool that you were talking about there. And then, how can we get out of there on friendly terms with the Pakistan's folks and with the Afghans, and versus how it will end if we don't pull out?
Let me tell you that there is everything to be gained by pulling out, and there is everything to be lost by continuing to stay here. So that's my judgment, and I'm quite convinced that this is right. Now, by pulling out, you are going to, because there is a natural affinity between America and Pakistan and America and even Afghanistan, because, you know, they have cooperated in the past throughout. We have a long history of cooperation. When India was in the USSR camp, Pakistan was all along, was, and Afghanistan too, was in the American camp. Afghanistan made a mistake of being in the USSR camp, and USSR came and attacked it at that time. And of course, they resisted. And Pakistan stood behind them. America stood behind them also. And they don't forget that. So if you pull out, and that is very simple, you have to have a change of heart. And I have given that message clearly. I said, I am prepared to come discuss with you, face the court, go for a hearing before the Senate or the Congress, whatever you want me to do, I am prepared. If I am a terrorist, if I am quarterbacking, as you rightly said, this attacks in Afghanistan, then you can catch me. I mean, here is a terrorist who is offering himself. He says, okay, catch me, hold me responsible. Take me anywhere, to Congress, Senate, to any court, to any interrogation center, I'm prepared for all this. They are lying. I tell you, they are lying to the American people more than anyone else. And we have, if they have a change of heart, we will find ways and means when they can pull out safely. They will not be followed. Now, the speech that President Obama made on 8th of May 2009 in Cairo, addressing the Al-Azhar University, I think that was remarkable, because in this he had said, if there is no chance of attack or there is no threat of attack from that region to America, then in that case we are prepared to pull out every single troop from that region. And I at that time also on some of the TV channels, I said that this is a legitimate demand. Okay, we accept this, that there should be no attack on America from this area.
General, stay there.
No one has ever been found in the past also. And that automatically means that the responsibility will be on the new government, which will be installed in Afghanistan, to make sure that there is no threat to American interest.
General, I'm sorry to interrupt you. We've got to go to break. Come back and repeat that thought and finish it up. We'll be right back with General Hamid Gul.
You walk into this room at your own risk, because it leads to the future. Not a future that will be, but one that might be. This is not a new world. It is simply an extension of what began in the old one. It has patterned itself after every dictator who has ever planted the ripping imprint of a boot on the pages of history since the beginning of time. It has refinements, technological advances, and a more sophisticated approach to the destruction of human freedom. But like every one of the superstates that preceded it, it has one iron rule. Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
The answer to 1984 is 1776. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Well, we've been talking to Lieutenant General Hamid Ghul about a host of really important issues, and he's joining us from Pakistan. Last time we had him on, the regular phone number was being blocked, and we were having trouble getting through on the other line. And it looks like we may be having some phone troubles now. We may try to reconnect with him in a moment. General, do we have you? Now, again, I have researched all of this information in depth. And we've had the former CIA commander for the entire Afghan war on, who wrote the book Jawbreaker, and he admitted that they would pick up 12, 13, 14, 15-year-old kids and would send them to Guantanamo Bay as terrorists, knowing they were totally innocent, just to create this illusion. It's a manufactured war as a pretext to feed our troops into a meat grinder as a giant laboratory of control. And that's the bottom line of what's been going on here. Going back to General Hamid Ghul, General, I have looked at all of the information concerned here, and clearly the Pentagon plan is to expand the war into Pakistan. They now admit that U.S. forces and contractors are there illegally. Congress had been lied to about this. Where is all this leading, and what are the Western forces doing in Pakistan?
Well, they are on a sabotage, subversion mission, and inciting people to rise against the central government of Pakistan. So they are on destabilizing exercise, not realizing that this is going to hurt them more than it is going to hurt us, because we are in any case suffering. There is a spate of flood at the moment we are facing in Pakistan. It's a great human tragedy that we are in the middle of it. And on top of it, our friends America and their allies, some of their allies, and India, they are in collusion to bash Pakistan and to really unravel it from inside. Now, this is very unfair, and I don't think they will be able to do it at the end of the day. I think if they get embroiled in Pakistan, then they will keep on staying here for a very long time. And I don't think the American people have a heart for it. I think 60% of Americans are now already against this war. And if they are going to expand this war, because I know one thing, the irregular fight that is going to be put up to Americans, whether in Pakistan, Afghanistan, or Iran, now the larger the area of conflict, and longer the period of conflict, the established power, the one who is equipped with more firepower, cannot win. This is a lesson from history, and it is immutable. Because if they enlarge the area of conflict, then they will get more embroiled into some of the very difficult things which they can't foresee at this moment. So I think it is professionally very, very unwise for America to get involved into a conflict inside Pakistan.
General Ghul, where is this leading if the United States doesn't pull out? I mean, clearly our government, controlled by these offshore corporate interests, wants to expand this into Pakistan with this destabilization. From your research, how many contractors are sneaking around in your country versus regular U.S. forces?
Well, I think security contractors at this moment, they are trying to spread their wings into Balochistan area. And Americans have been granted permission, it is understood, to open, because they arm twist us, our government and our leaders, very conveniently. And they are going to open a consulate in Quetta. And I think this would, it will have two purposes. One, to continue to fan the ongoing insurgency, which is artificially being sponsored in Balochistan, which is largest of our provinces because of its very huge size and because of its borders with Makran coast. The coastal line mostly is covered by this province. And it's a long border with Iran. It is about 900 kilometers long border that we share with Iran. So it has twin purpose, A, to destabilize Pakistan, and B, to get inside Iran and try to destabilize them, because those areas are Sunni populated and they are definitely trying to create a problem for Iran from that point. So really, at this moment, I would put the figure of the security contractors to less than 5,000. I don't think they are more than this number. And they are trying to expand because very recently, 650 visas were issued to American servicemen. And they come in CVs. This is very unfortunate that servicemen traditionally should be used in uniform. But when you start using them in civilian clothes, this is not their job. A soldier is brought in bred and he is taught, his training is to fight cleanly on the battlefield.
So they're trying to turn them into
the work of undercover agents.
Exactly. They're trying to turn them into covert spies so they can't be differentiated between them, regular troops, and the different contractors. Speaking of Iran, General Gould, we continue to hear over and over again that Iran is funding insurgency in Pakistan and Afghanistan. And many analysts, even here in the West, even many people in the CIA say that that's asinine, that's a lie. What's the truth there?
It's an utter lie. Believe you me, Iran is not doing anything of this nature. But they would have us believe that Iran is our enemy. They are not our enemies. There has been no hostility between Iran and Pakistan. That border is quiet. There is absolutely peaceful movement of goods and people on that border. So this is an utter lie. It's only to malign Iran. But I tell you, Israel is hell-bent to draw America into a wider war by attacking Iran. If they go in for unilaterally to attack some target, even drop a few bombs here and there, I think it will flare up a conflict that they will not be able to control. And America is likely to get sucked into this war. And this may turn out to be the Third World War. It will be a disaster of the first order. I think it must be avoided at all costs.
Well, General Gould, it's not just you, a formidable intelligence and military expert who's worked at every level from ground commander up to major general right through here. Dealing with this, the word that I get from Ray McGovern, high-level CIA analyst, retired, and others, is that they're looking at green-lighting it this month. They may attack, Israel may attack in the next 15 days or even sooner. We are on the edge of what most even Western analysts say, and the Russians agree, could lead to World War III.
Yes, I agree with you. I have said that independently. I didn't have this information that you have, but all the same, I think my calculation as a strategist and as an intelligence expert is that this would be a disaster. I don't think that Russia can be kept back, or China for that matter. I don't know which all other countries will get sucked into this imbroglio. And this will be an inferno that will consume so many things. And corporate America would be the biggest sufferer. They don't realize this. Because if it results eventually in destabilization of the entire region, where are they going to sell their goods? And how are they going to pick up the oil? And especially the European countries will be the biggest sufferers. And Japanese economy will collapse. So many things will happen. You can't simply, it's incalculable at this time.
By the way, that's what literally hundreds of top Western analysts are saying. They confer with General Hamid Gould. General, we're running out of time. We've got one more segment coming up. I may try to keep you a bit longer, but I wanted to get into some other issues. We're also simulcasting on television. If I can have a document cam shot right here. Evidence Mumbai attackers were Anglo-American intel operatives. That's Kurt Nemo in November of 2008 about the Mumbai attacks. Now we have December of last year, Times of London, Mumbai terror suspect David Headley was rogue U.S. agent. The Chicago Tribune went on to report he was the commander of the operation. The head of Indian counterterrorism said it was a Western op, but they killed him that day to shut him up. Here's another one. Chicago man charged in 2008 Mumbai terror attacks. Intelligence connection. So how did you know 2 years ago, day one, that this was a Western op that they tried to blame on you in Pakistan?
Well, I have an uncanny sixth sense about this because of my experience, because of the fact that I worked with the CIA and I know how their mind works. I can read their mind. For instance, I had said that this attack, 9/11 attack, was because of the internal cavity inside America itself. To date, they have not been able to come up with a charge sheet against Osama bin Laden. He should have been tried in absentia if they had enough evidence on him. Why have they not tried him in absentia?
General, I've got to stop you. This is too important. I want you to start over when we come back and talk about Osama bin Laden. Of course, CNN said that you had no evidence of that when bin Laden's on record saying he didn't do it. The CIA now admits 2 months ago that they created a fake bin Laden video. In fact, print me that Washington Post. It's spy talk. CIA created fake bin Laden video. Stay there. General Hamid Ghul, our guest. We'll be right back. Okay, he's a retired three-star general, so it is lieutenant general. Former head of Pakistani intelligence, General Hamid Ghul. And he is with us today. And I have to tell you, I've researched this all in depth myself. It's been declassified, the CIA, Mossad, MI6 stage terror attacks. They're doing everything they can to get us into a full-bore war with Pakistan. Then they'll have to go in with a full invasion to get the nukes. And I mean, if you think that the Afghans are tough and hard to beat, the Pakistanis are just as tougher and have nuclear weapons. But I'll get into that in a moment with General Ghul. General Ghul, I brought up the Mumbai attacks. It was later confirmed that that was run by Western intelligence, and you were getting into 9/11 being an inside job. Please spend some time on that.
Yeah, 9/11, they haven't given the evidence so far. And I think much hype was created. Now they don't even mention about Osama bin Laden. The latest statement is by General Petraeus. He said that he is so far away that whether he is alive or dead doesn't matter at all. Now that means they have forgotten about Osama bin Laden now. And they are out to destroy the Afghan nation and then come for Pakistan. From day one I said 9/11 was a pretext. Afghanistan is the lodging place. This is the staging point, and from there they will jump into Pakistan. And I fear that this is coming true. But in Pakistan, their overwhelming interest of both India and Israel, it's not America's interest, because America won't bother whether Pakistan has 30, 40 or 100 bombs. It makes no difference to America. We have no such hostility between us. In fact, we have been very fast friends in the past, and we still are friends. Anyway, the point is that Israel would simply not be able to digest Pakistan's nuclear program, nor the Indians. So Pakistan's nuclear program is one point which needs to be now resolved one way or another. Either they have to accept that Pakistan is a de facto nuclear power and should be entered into the nuclear club, because that's a reality. And the fact that they have not accepted it, while India's nuclear capability has been accepted, that means they are still out to destroy it somehow. They can't reverse it and they cannot destroy it. Now that is where my understanding of Pakistan's ability, Pakistan's will to resist and its resilience comes into play. I can assure you there is a complete consensus in Pakistan on this one issue, that nuclear capability we have to protect, even if in the process we end up with a total destruction. Doesn't matter, but we will protect this capability of ours. It's a great asset for Pakistan. But But my fear, Alex, is that if Pakistan is put to the corner and it is pushed against the wall, Pakistan, being an Islamic state, could also declare international jihad. Now, if that Islamic state declares international jihad, it becomes binding on the Muslims of the rest of the world to come out in support of jihad. Now, that is what will be, which will change the modern history altogether if that call is given. So let Pakistan not be taken lightly by the adversaries, by India, by Israel, or even by America. Pakistan has a potential, which is a very dangerous potential. We wouldn't like to do that. But if we have no other choice, if it is existentialist threat to us, then anything is possible. And it better be avoided by our adversaries.
General, I'm showing viewers Spy Talk, the issue from about 2 months ago in the Washington Post with a headline, CIA's unit, wacky idea, depicts Saddam as gay. But buried in the article, they admit that they made fake bin Laden videos. The famous bin Laden video is a fake. So bin Laden was writing letters saying he didn't do this after the attacks. Meanwhile, they use message boards and fake videos, and they admit it was a fake video. Why would the CIA arrogantly come out and admit they're growing the opium? Why would they arrogantly come out and brag that they are creating fake bin Laden videos? I mean, why are they so arrogant?
Well, this is the imperial arrogance, imperial hubris, which I think afflicts every nation which comes into that position where it stands at the pinnacle. And there is no one to destroy them but they themselves. Their own internal cavities destroy them. Their own arrogance and their own sense of injustices, I mean, that is what destroys them. So I think this system is on self-destruct, unfortunately. Their status, somehow, they are not able to handle it properly. The sole superpower status, because there are lesser men. The leaders are lesser leaders. There are pygmies as far as intellectual capacity is concerned, as far as their moral quality is concerned. They are pygmies. This is the problem of the leadership. So I think while we in the third world countries usually cry about our leaders, I think poor America is also really bereft of the quality leadership that they deserve at this time.
General, stay there. Final segment with you coming up straight ahead. We'll talk more about World War III.
We've got it. The transmission is coming to you.
Waging war on corruption.
All right, you are go.
It's Alex Jones coming to you live from the front lines of the InfoWar.
Three-star General Hamid Ghul, former head of Pakistani intelligence who led the forces to victory against the Soviet bear. When you watch the films and read the documents about the Soviets massacring villages, carpet bombing villages, it's exactly what our criminal government's doing. The same corporations that have occupied Afghanistan using our military are occupying my country. They're waging war against my Bill of Rights, my Constitution, my children's future. I want my republic back. I want to be known as the land of the free, home of the brave, an example of goodness, not an example of evil. They lie to you. They give you fake bin Laden videos. They stage terror attacks. They say Saddam's got WMDs when he doesn't. And they want to start World War III, not just with Iran, but Pakistan. I concur with General Ghul's analysis 100% from my own deep 18-hour-a-day research many days. Okay? We are going into World War III. And General Ghul, you talked about how they want to cause the collapse of Pakistan, how they're funding radicals there, which has been admitted. They've been caught. And how they want Pakistan to have their back against a wall. So they have to declare an emergency jihad to protect themselves and call on aid, as Afghanistan did, so they can have what the PNAC documents and the Israelis and Dick Cheney called for in the September 20th, 2000, Rebuilding America's Defenses PNAC document, a clash of civilizations. They want to force the American people into a bare-knuckle war to fully commit us. I believe they're going to set off nukes in the U.S. and blame it on Pakistan and Iran. I see them putting out this story to where the Americans will howl with pure rage. They will ship 3 million Americans over there, bloodthirsty, ready for absolute genocide. And so your people, my people, have to stand together against the New World Order, just like they want to put two pit bulls in a ring and have us kill each other. We don't need to do this. We need to be smart enough to avert this, and the evidence is clear. We are on the verge of them launching World War III, a clash between Christendom, what's left of it in the West, and the East, a war without end. General, your comments.
My comments are that there is no clash of civilization. This is a myth that has been created, unfortunately. There has to be a meeting of civilization. And as far as Islam is concerned, why is it being looked upon as an enemy, as an adversary? Islam encompasses Christianity and Judaism. It is not an entity in itself, but actually it encompasses all the three religions of the book. So there has to be amity, peace among us, and everyone has to gain from it. And therefore, there is no need for the dark impulse in the American system. I won't say in the American people because they are so good. It is in the American system that dark impulse has to be removed, and it can only be removed by the American people if they rise against this, like the moratorium movement back in the Vietnam days when it picked up from Berkeley's campus and then it spread across the cities and villages of whole of America. It became the battle cry for American people that this was a useless war, this was a debilitating war, and we must quit as soon as possible, which they did. And of course, America still remained a great power, and eventually it, because of the Afghan blood, because of the services of Pakistan and men like me, that America enjoys today the status of the sole superpower. Now, America is hell-bent, or that dark impulse in American system is hell-bent, that they destroy America's position as the sole superpower. So it has to be morally correct. And unfortunately, telling lies with regard to Iraq, telling lies with regard to 9/11, and telling lies now with regard to Bombay attack, everywhere it is lies, lies, and lies, nothing else. And that is not going to be helpful, because that is going to totally demolish the American position. American economy is in doldrums, but the generals of the Pentagon, they would want America to commit more forces in Afghanistan and elsewhere, and now they want to pick a fight with Iran, at the same time pick a fight with Pakistan. I don't know. They have to sit down, war game it, and if I am there, I will tell each one of them how wrong they are. There are lessons to be learned from military history. In Afghanistan, for instance, the spaces are not in their control. The victory or defeat is actually the outcome of three interplay of three factors, which is very important. Now I'm talking as a professional soldier. The time, space, and relative strength. In Afghanistan, Americans have the watch and opposition has the time. The Mujahideen have the time. In Afghanistan, again, they have the spaces are with the opposition, and Americans are confined only to garrison town. More and more, they will be squeezed into the garrison town. And third factor, that of relative strength, agreed that America has firepower, but America does not have a willing, motivated manpower. Slowly, gradually, the American soldiers have started now asking, what are we here for? Why are we laying down our lives? And I think this is a terrible situation if it seeps into the minds of the soldiery. And I think before this really erupts, it's better for America, it is better for the world that they pull out of here and they abandon any notions of attacking Iran or coming for Pakistan's nuclear capability. They cannot pluck it out, and it can create a desperate Pakistan which could do anything. I'm not saying that Pakistan would do it, but I think there are possibilities and there are chances that Pakistan may actually have to, for its own existence, for its own honor, for its own well-being, it can go to the extreme limit, which would not be good for the countries who want to see Pakistan's nuclear capability destroyed and Pakistan cut to pieces. No, it will not happen. I can assure you this. And they better disabuse their minds and their plans of this kind of notion.
General, a few other points I wanted to bring up to you, and then any other points you'd like to make, and we'll let you go. We're very thankful for your time today and your courage to come on this broadcast. But specifically, Benazir Bhutto, dealing with another lie. Our media said that she fell and hit her head on the side of a car, even though all over European and Central Asian news, it showed her being machine gunned in the chest by Western contractors as the intel. And then when it came out that she had been murdered and that our media had lied, they tried to claim that forces associated with the Taliban, which is any tribal group that resists occupation, had done it. What is the truth from your research about the assassination of Bhutto?
I've been saying that all along. She has been killed by the Americans. She's been killed by Dick Cheney's people. They are the ones who are operating Dick Cheney's order, because Dick Cheney has drawn up a plan of governance for Pakistan, and Benazir has become rebellious. She refused to meet Negroponte because Negroponte had told her not to go in Pakistan until after the election. But she dared them, and she came and she said, I'll want independent judiciary. She sent me a message through an emissary, a good friend of hers and me, and he came and said that she says, General, I am now agreeing with you. I tend to agree with you that the Americans have evil designs on Pakistan. And therefore, I know that it is she had become very dangerous for them, for Dick Cheney and company, who wanted things to happen in a certain way in Pakistan. And fortunately, those things are happening in that fashion. And I think Pakistan is in tatters today. Pakistan has to be redeemed. And I think the young generation of Pakistan is very angry, very unhappy with America. So America must not think of ruling Pakistan by proxies. This is wrong. And I think they should quit this idea as soon as possible.
Well, General Gul, here is my message to the Pakistani people. I know you're hardworking, intelligent, good people who have always been friends with the United States. And I have the globalist-owned PNAC plans to go in and destabilize you and overthrow your country and then put extremists in power so that you won't have a highly developed civilization. And they're threatened by that. And they also want to use up America's treasure and our good name and destroy us in the international community via your destruction, so that this new global corporate state known as the New World Order can rise. And they now admit they're forming a world government run by private banks. They have a global carbon tax that's meant to strangle development. This is eugenics. And from my research, I've never read your writings on this subject, but I'm curious your view on the aim of this global corporate Anglo-American New World Order system. And are you aware that they've been caught giving children in Central Asia, this is CBS News, real polio in the shots to kill them? They've been caught adding sterilants to the tetanus shots to sterilize women. And that from my research, Latin America, Africa, Central Asia, Pakistan, particularly, is targeted by a covert population reduction program. Are you aware of that, sir?
Yes, I've heard of it, and I think it's very obnoxious, to say the least. But America appears to be becoming heartless, and I think the American people have got to win back their heart, and they have to come up with an opinion which is stronger than their dark policies. I think that opinion, America can be stopped in the track only by the American people. There's nobody else who can do that for them until the whole disaster takes place. But we want to avert this disaster, as you very rightly said. I think that's your mission, and good luck to you for that mission. I think it's a noble mission, and you must continue pressing this hard as much as you can.
General Hamid Gul, thank you so much for joining us today. I look forward to speaking to you again in the future, and I hope that our two countries can be friends, and I hope that we can get our nation back from the globalists. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Alex, and goodbye.
Goodbye, General Gul. Well, there you go, ladies and gentlemen, a hour and 15-minute live, uncensored interview with three-star General Hamid Gul, former head of Pakistani intelligence. And I will post this video and audio at prisonplanet.tv. If you missed any of it in the live show today, it'll be up just minutes after the live broadcast ends, after Max Kaiser is with us on the economy and other news. But what you just heard is the truth from all of my research. Separately, with doing my own research, I can find nothing that Hamid Ghul said here that isn't veritas, that isn't the truth. And this guy was a hero in our media in the 80s, leading the attacks against the Soviets. And now it's the Russians saying we better be careful in Afghanistan and Pakistan, and it's our own government run by a bunch of crooks that is trying to expand all of this. So very informative interview with Lieutenant General Hamid Ghul, and obviously in the days to come you'll probably see a lot of news articles written about all of this. But what was the one line, Jaron, that he said that you thought would be a good idea to name the video of this when we posted at PrisonPlanet.tv? God help America. Hamid Ghul, God help America. This is a guy actually trained over here. And our media is using fake battlefield reports, even the Washington Post said are very questionable, to claim that this 74-year-old gentleman, did he say 74 or 76? To claim that he is running all these attacks when it's all these different tribes, all these different groups who many times are even fighting with each other. I mean, nobody's running this. Nobody's controlling this. That's the globalist mindset, is they create crises so big and so out of control that the problems just get bigger, and then they can spend more money and more troops and project more power in the name of cleaning it up. But the plan is only to make it worse and commit us to an endless war. And that's why, as a patriotic American who defends the entire Bill of Rights, Declaration of Independence, and Constitution, I agree with George Washington. And we know FEMA demonizes George Washington. I have video training films where they teach police and firefighters and sheriff's deputies that George Washington, Thomas Jefferson were terrorists and were bad. It's in my film, Road to Tyranny. And it's just so disgusting to see this. But George Washington, now al-Qaeda, according to our government, I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but it's true. He said, no foreign entanglements. We're not an empire. We're going to trade with people. Like Ron Paul says, we're going to have business with people. Now, I got a bunch of other news coming up on the economy I want to hit on. Ahead of Max Keiser joining us, some other military news when we go to break here in a moment. But I've done an hour and 47 minutes without telling you about what makes this operation float, what funds this operation. But more importantly, that's just a caveat, a fringe benefit, a symbiosis, a symbiotic relationship. These films are waking people up. You can show them the well-produced, well-documented, riveting, real-world films. And your friends and family are ready to be awakened. You can get all my films or films I produced and make copies of them and air them on Access TV and give them to people for nonprofit educational purposes. Invisible Empire, New World Order Defined by Jason Burmes, such an important film. Took us a year and a half to make this. Covers the whole New World Order architecture, their Order Out of Chaos program, hundreds of New World Order global government quotes. This is such an important film. This special ends next Monday. You've got a week to take advantage of this. Buy one copy, get three free. You can go ahead and do all your Christmas shopping early, have it all. Buy one copy for $19.95, get three copies for $19.95 free. So you get four copies, $19.95, buy one, get three free. You can buy two for $39.95 or $39.90. And you get eight copies free. 10 videos for $39.90. 10 copies of Invisible Empire for $39.90. Same thing with Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA. The entire 15 years of my research, the latest developments, the secret governor's councils, the Military Commissions Act, the John Warner Defense Authorization Act, the executive orders, all of it is covered in this film. The FEMA camps, the clergy response teams, how the underwear bombing on Christmas Day was staged. It is all covered in Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA. So many subjects, well documented. Buy one, get three free. Buy two, get eight free. 10 copies, $39.90. Four copies, $19.95. Same thing with part two of the Obama deception, Fall of the Republic. The presidency of Barack H. Obama, how they plan to start the wars, how they plan to steal the pension funds. Made this almost a year ago. It's all coming true now. People see this and are blown away. The production quality's off the chart. Fall of the Republic. You can get all three of these films. Buy one, get three free. Buy two, get eight free. and also other great documentaries that we carry. Discounted, Global Warming, Emerging Science and Understanding, Solutions for a Broken Economy, The Secret of Oz, directed by Bill Still, get it discounted, The Obama Deception. All of these are available right now at InfoWars.com, or you can simply call toll-free 888-253-3139, 888-253-3139. You can also download all of my films in super high quality, burn them right to disc or CD to give people to play on their computers, or DVD players at PrisonPlanet.tv. They've got a 64 kilobit audio podcast there. They've got the 64, it's actually 120 or even higher audio video of the entire archive of the full show. We now do the whole transmission, FTV as well, not just part of it. It's all at PrisonPlanet.tv, and your memberships make all this possible. And later this week, exclusive for PrisonPlanet.tv members, my interview with Jesse Ventura on Key Info here in Austin last week.
Hi, this is former Governor Jesse Ventura, and this is the Alex Jones Show. I recommend you all pay attention to Alex, because Alex and I are teaming up again this fall for a second season of Conspiracy Theory, where we will attempt to get to the bottom of these conspiracies. Until then, keep watching and listening to Alex.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
Well, right when we kick off the third hour, Max Keiser, stockbroker, inventor of the Hollywood Stock Exchange, great trends forecaster, he'll be joining us today on this live Monday, 16th day of August, 2010. I'm going to get into the economy with Keiser coming up and the Iran situation. But first, I wanted to get into some Big Brother news. This is up at PrisonPlanet.com and InfoWars.com right now. Remember 6-7 years ago in Australia and the U.S., the NSA was going to give local police and Bureau Land Management and environmental groups, even private ones, access to satellite images, lifetime, of people's farms and ranches and in businesses, so they could harass people so that they couldn't build a barn or couldn't plant crops without being harassed. Well, all Google did, which is admittedly part of the NSA, I mean, I told you that many years ago, now they admit it, is they just made it all public to everybody. And government is now using this to harass people and all over the world, because the same global corporations are setting this up. They're banning people collecting their own rainwater, and now they're saying you've got to pay for rain to fall on your crops. But then other nations don't have to do that. It's all selective. It's all part of the carbon tax. This will shut down our industry and our farming even more. Key article up at PrisonPlanet.com by Paul Joseph Watson today. Government using Google Earth to loot destitute Americans. And I actually heard an NPR piece about 2 weeks ago and thought to call Watson, because a lot of times I call Watson or Kurt. Well, Kurt works here now. He's moved to Austin from New Mexico. But so I'll usually go into their office or call them. Watson's in England. Both Watsons are. And I'll say, write on this. And I forgot to, but that's why I love Watson, because he thinks just like I do, and he wrote a story about it. But NPR was saying it was good. In Greece and in other countries, the government, to raise money, is charging people, depending on the city, $300 to $1,000 or 1,000 euros for a swimming pool fee. Or they notice if your swimming pool looks like it's in disuse, they come and fine you. So it's all part of this surveillance harassment. Remember that Pennsylvania tax collection ad where it says, hey, Tom, we're watching you. You didn't pay $4,000 taxes, and we know where you live. And it shows the earth, and they zoom in from space and show the guy's house. Again, this is all designed for you. Here it is. Smile. Aerial images being used to enforce laws. Associated Press. And that was August 14th, just 2 days ago. In fact, crank this ad up. Start it over. That's a good idea. Crank up the ad, because I want people to actually see and hear this ad where they're intimidating people. Here it is.
Just off of Fifth Street. Nice car, Tom. Nice house. What's not so nice is you owe Pennsylvania $4,212 in back taxes. Listen, Tom, we can make this easy. Pay online by June 18th, and we'll skip your penalty. and take half off your interest. Because, Tom, we do know who you are.
Oh, find us before we find you. So this whole grid isn't for the terrorists. That's the government. They're staging almost all of it. It's for us. State utilizing aerial imagery technology to enforce petty ordinances and loot destitute citizens of whatever income they have left after having had trillions in wealth stolen and transferred to foreign banks and trillions spent to build these satellites and launch them. And the whole article just goes over it. And then there's another report here. They're now coming in to charge you for rainwater usage.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We have a lot of incredible news to cover in this hour with Max Keiser of MaxKeiser.com. I'm Alex Jones with Infowars.com. The Chicago Tribune is reporting that the state has changed the laws to be able to take public pension funds of fire, police, school teachers, state workers, and they're now saying that you're not guaranteed to get your money. Bloomberg is reporting in the last 6 months that the feds are ordering pension fund managers, public and private, to, quote, invest in failed banks. So they're really moving towards this new scenario of looting and stealing. Separately, collecting rainwater, now illegal in many states, as Big Brother and government claims ownership over the water. And as I just mentioned, they're now admittedly using the satellites with local government to harass farmers and homeowners and assess fees. Big Brother is literally waging war on humanity. Max Keiser, good to have you here with us.
Alex Jones, pleasure to be back.
I told you during the break that I had Hamid Ghul on, and I was flattered to hear you were listening, and you said you found it interesting. What was your take on the man our media is now claiming is the new Osama bin Laden?
Oh, I don't listen to the American media at all. So I just don't care what the American media says. I am part of those Europeans. If you look at the story that just came out in Newsweek, they said we've entered a new period in Europe here. It's a post-anti-Americanism. That the press in Europe depicts America as a fraying empire of obese, ignorant, debt, gridlock, stagnation, and mindless people. Sure. And so basically, America's not that interesting anymore. It's a shrinking country. It's the incredible shrinking country. It's not a world superpower because it's the world super debtor. It's just got debt. It's not equity. It's not. They have jobs.
But it has psychopaths running it. And a brainwashed lithium head, fluoride head public with almost a 20-point IQ drop from the chemicals in our water, sitting on top 40,000 nuclear weapons.
So, you know, what the American media says about somebody else, it's worthless. They have no weight anymore. They've got no juice. The U.S. dollar is being held up with vapors and mirrors. It's soon to be dropped into the floor, and America will just be in the 7th, 8th, 9th world. Who cares? We're post-America. America's finished. It died years ago. I'm surprised. I still get calls from America. You must be one of the only people left there.
Max, you know the U.S. is held by the very same global corporations Europe is, and I think the American empire is dying. Hopefully, out of this death, we don't get World War III as they try to hold on to it all.
All right, well, World War III, I'm glad you brought that up, Alex. It's being fought right now, really, in the currency wars. And now, this is very interesting because for the last few years, everybody has come on to television and on radio and talked about how China needs to value their currency higher because they're a currency manipulator and it's not fair that America can't export. Well, guess what? China is getting themselves off the dollar peg, and guess what they've done? They're lowering the value of the yuan because they're engaged in a financial war with the U.S. China is now the.
And for those that don't know, the U.S. has been begging them to not lower it, and then sometimes changing the policies, asking them to not increase its value. So, what does this mean?
Well, this means that, first of all, China, just this past week, it surpassed Japan. It's now the number two global economy. And it's going to be number one very shortly, very soon, because they have all the keys. They've got $1 trillion in U.S. dollars and U.S. debt securities. And when the moment is ripe, they will pull the plug and they'll sell those securities and America's finished. All the interest rates will spike up to 10-15% in a day. The mortgage crisis will become, every homeowner in America will be completely out of a home. And that'll be it. We're finished. It's finished. They won. China's about to win. We're in the
All right, Max, stay there. Stay there. Let's talk about how you see this playing out and unfolding on the other side, and then where that will lead us. We've already got welfare riots coast to coast, people wanting their free goodies. What's going to happen when the blood flow to the corporate ticks and their dependents ends?
Defending the Republic from enemies foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.
Max Keiser is our guest for the remainder of the hour. We're going to get into the economy and all the economic news that's coming in. Max, in Atlanta, Georgia, and other cities, we've seen people getting into fights, riots breaking out over food stamps. We've now got 42 million Americans. Just a few months ago, it was 40 million on food stamps, the equivalent of digital soup lines. We see major police departments laying off more than half of their police officers and saying those that are left will only generate revenue for the state, will not help people who are being burglarized or having their car stolen. This is a road warrior scenario. The taxes are going up. The services are being removed, like Argentina or some other country that's been looted by these people. These global banks are offshore. They tried to go into Europe in the last 6 months and loot that. Merkel kicked them out, calling them criminal. So they've come back towards the dollar. There's some talk of China imploding and a lot of manipulation happening there. So break down this currency war. Who's running it and where you see it going?
Well, you know, here's how I'm making money on it. In other words, I'm not thinking about saving anybody in America. Forget them. They're lost. They won't save themselves. So here's how I'm playing it. I'm buying Corrections Corp of America, straight on the New York Stock Exchange. They've got a deal with ICE. You know, ICE goes down there and rounds up people and throws them in jail. They have a deal with ICE. They pay them $11 million a month. So the Correction Corps of America is paying ICE $11 million a month to go round up people to put in prison, because prison's a hugely profitable business. You own the prisons, you own the restaurants, you own the hotels. So I'm buying CCA, Correction Corps of America, so bring it on. All those stupid people who are allowing their government to arrest them and throw them in jail and treat them like slaves and nincompoops, it's going to make money for CCA. In other words, I'm passive, Alex. I'm not going to say anything to help anybody there anymore, because I'm making money like the rest of the world. There's 95% of the world's population is not American. They're looking at America now as a place to just sap money out to make money. It's not a beacon of democracy. It's not worth saving. It's just a place to make a few extra bucks and then drop it like a load of garbage on the street.
Well, Max, let me stop you. I know you're being somewhat sarcastic here. You normally talk about doing things with stocks, you know, to be moral, like going out and trying to, you know, drive down the price of Coca-Cola. If everybody gets this, if everybody gets this casino gulag attitude and gives in to the evil.
Look at this story out of the UK. The NHS is launching a pill with a patch. You swallow the pill, and then when your body, through the patch, senses that the pill is wearing off, it sends a text email to you to take another pill. Now, if that's not the casino gulag, look it up. It's called Chip and Pill, the high-tech tablet that will text you when it's time to take another dose. So here you have all these people in America, no job, no wages, on food stamps. Well, here's a new pill that tells you when to give yourself another pill. So now you have all these neurotic, psychotic people with no jobs who are being dosed by themselves through their text. But the pill is talking.
And now the media is proposing lithium in our water and vaccines that literally destroy neurons in the brain to make you docile. We are entering something worse than Soylent Green.
Well, yeah, and of course the technology is there to make it all very high-tech and seamless and cost-efficient for the people. You know, I am shocked at this Google-Verizon deal. I mean, I find this to be really hideous, because here you have Google that became a $100 billion company riding on the internet riding on DARPA, which was built by the American taxpayer. If it wasn't for the American taxpayer, there would be no Google. And now they're turning around and they're shutting the internet down. They're creating silos. They're creating two-tier internet to enhance their multi-hundred-billion-dollar profits and to further destroy the American landscape and the ability for people there to aggregate, to assemble, to communicate. They're going to put all the alternative media sites, like yours, probably, on the slow lane. So to dial you up from Europe, it'll be on the slow lane. We'll be able to get it because Google and Verizon are only going to support the media.
And that's just at the start. That's just at the start. This is Internet 2. They're doing it because the alternative media is kicking their butt. The White House admits they're allowing this to happen to move towards shutting down the free web. So they're really showing us just how criminal they are.
Who's gonna stop them? I mean, look at the issue is net neutrality, and who has just come out in the last week against net neutrality? The Tea Party folks. Now that's absurd. If you are in support of anything that has anything to do with civil rights and individual rights, you would be for net neutrality. So the Tea Party expose themselves as basically rabble-rousers for hire. You can get the Tea Party to say anything. Just throw them a few bucks, put Sarah Palin on TV, and she'll say anyone for anything for a buck. They have no ideology whatsoever.
Well, Max, there's eight different Tea Parties, and four of them are neocon clones, and you're absolutely right. Net neutrality is the internet. If you don't have net neutrality, you don't have an internet.
That's right. You got to support it. You've made your entire bones on net neutrality. You have access to your broadcasting, and you're competing head-to-head with CNN and Fox News and everybody else. If we get rid of net neutrality, Alex Jones goes the way of...
Here's why they're doing it. The mainstream media is in free fall. The alternative media a year and a half ago became bigger than the mainstream media in their own breakdowns and actuaries. So government doesn't want freedom on the web because we're exposing their absurdist lies and propaganda and stealing. The big corporations don't want a free web. And so there's a perfect storm. I don't think they're going to get away with it, Max. I think it's going to take them too long to try to strangle the web. I think they're going to fail.
Well, the key issue that plugs into this is the copyright law. Copyright law for... Now, every time Mickey Mouse is about to enter the public domain, Disney Corporation gets Congress to expand copyright law. So the people who are in the copyright business, major media, Hollywood film studios, and the labels, they hate the fact that eventually material returns to the public domain from where it came. As Thomas Jefferson wrote in Article 17 of the Constitution, intellectual property must return to the public domain from where it came. But the media companies put it on these balance sheets for perpetual copyright protection, thus depriving us of the very intellectual property that we ourselves created. Now, this creates an annuity stream for these media companies, and they hate the fact that P2P file swapping, net neutrality, and rogue and off-the-cuff radio stations are cutting into their copyright monopoly.
And that's how they're coming in with prior constraint. They're saying, on Internet 2, everything you do will have to be approved, and only mega sites will be allowed to be on the web. You'll have to go through them to get to alternative sites. This is the end of the web.
Every file that crosses every email is tagged with a number, and it'll go through copyright law protection. People will get in their emails every month a bill. If they use the word Microsoft in an email, they'll get a bill from Microsoft saying, we have a copyright on the word Microsoft. You owe us one-tenth of a penny. So every single month, you'll get a bill for the words that you used in your emails because these corporations say they own the copyright to these words. So we can't communicate anymore because we can't afford to communicate anymore because everything is going to be controlled by copyright and Google and Verizon and a two-tier internet. So we're going to
By the way, Google is allowed to violate real copyrights. Entire books and things, they don't get in trouble because they're an admitted NSA, CIA government consolidation tool. But did you see where Sky Television, owned by Rupert Murdoch, is going after Skype? Because in the word Skype is the word sky. So now if you write Skylark, they'll sue you because a bird is a Skylark, but it has the word sky in it. This is the absurdity of the copyright tyranny.
Right. And we could get around it because it was so absurd. But now with this two-tiered internet and with the Google NSA relationship and the intelligence and the surveillance and the Bush era and now the Obama era, as you point out in the Obama deception, the new laws under the Patriot Act where they can just read everyone's email, it's all stored on databases. This is all toward a time when every single word that you say or write is going to be tagged and possibly up for violating a copyright law. And, of course, you will have to pay every month. And since no one will have a job to pay for it, you'll have to go into debt. So where do you go to in debt? Oh, you go to Wall Street. That's right. Wall Street will be selling you loans to pay for your copyright bill at the end of the month, which, of course, you'll never get out of because you can never stop talking because if you needed to figure out how to pay your copyright bill, you'll use another word that's copyrighted. It'll go on ad infinitum.
And now they're saying they're going to put cameras and microphones on all street corners and in all aircraft, and this is Associated Press, all cars will have a camera that watches you real time, hooked into the local police department and the Threat Fusion Center. And when you say words like McDonald's, you'll be charged copyright. You're not allowed to talk. So it's also a new thought crime system. I'm not joking.
Okay, let's talk about this guy. Who's behind all this? Well, Wall Street and hedge funds. Here's a quote from Stephen Schwarzman. He runs Blackstone, very big private equity group. He said if Obama tries to tax us, private equity, it would be like Hitler invading Poland. Okay? He's pulling out the Hitler invading Poland analogy to describe if he, a private equity group, that has drained hundreds of billions from the public coffers, engaged in market manipulation and insider trading. He's saying, if you try to tax any of this money, we're going to consider this an act like an Hitler invading Poland, which means, of course, they can use the program trading. They can do a flash crash, as they did a couple of months ago, a 1,000-point drop, any day they want to, because they use the financial terrorist tool.
Max,
any day they want to. They've got an entrenched hedge fund oligarchy.
They're setting the precedent that they can naked body scan us, lie about it, and save the images. They're setting the precedent to put lithium in our water and vaccines to make us servile on record. They're setting the precedent to do anything they want, and then we can do nothing. They are attempting to break us like a pimp breaks a whore. They're attempting to fully dominate us and engage in whatever crimes they want. I want to ask you about the Wall Street Journal yesterday, saying that junk bonds and derivatives are now being issued at a record pace. The Financial Reform Act allows them to do this. We'll be right back with Max Keiser. I'm Alex Jones. MaxKeiser.com is the website. Well, the Wall Street Journal, Business Insider, many others are reporting companies are falling over themselves, issue even more junk bonds, basically a form of derivative, than last year's record. So what's happened with this Financial Reform Act is it's given the top banksters even more power to do whatever they want. And they're also reporting that every economic indicator shows this country is deteriorating very, very quickly. I mean, they're hell-bent on running this country into the ground, Max Keiser.
Well, yeah. I mean, the scam works this way. Let's say you're a bank and you've got your value is $40 billion, and you're going to sell some junk bonds. So you put up the bank's assets as collateral. You sell $40 billion. You borrow essentially $40 billion more. The CEO pays himself a $4 billion bonus. And now the company has $40 billion more in debt. 6 months later or 9 months later, it can't pay the debt. So it goes to the government, and the government has to bail them out again. So all the bailout money that was given to Wall Street, the hundreds of billions, trillions given to Wall Street, they are sitting on it, they're using it to pay off the debt, and they're paying themselves huge bonuses and salaries. Now, they're selling hundreds of billions of more in junk bonds today. 9 months from now, they will not be able to pay. They know that. And they'll go back to the government. And they'll put the gun to the government head and they'll say, either give us another $5 trillion or we're going to crash your economy like we did back in October 2008 with Hank Paulson. And the government, of course, Barack Obama, having no spine whatsoever, will just give him another $5 to $10 trillion and give us another multi-hundred-billion-dollar bonus. How can Wall Street continue to pay itself record bonuses if the economy is having record losses? There's a disconnect there. Well, the answer is quite easy. It's a kleptocracy of Wall Street bankers have got a gun to the head of Congress, and any time that Congress flinches, they do a flash crash. They just crash the market. Financial terrorism, as I explained on your show last time. They just have a computer algorithm that goes in there to sell, it overwhelms the specialist system, drops the price of stocks down. Everyone panics. Nancy Pelosi gets her little knickers in a twist and runs around like, I'm losing money, And they give them another $5 trillion. So it's a fantastic racket. It's the perfect crime. Nobody stops them, and it's going to continue. So selling junk bonds today is the financial crisis in 6 months.
And then meanwhile, Max, when I study who's funding the carbon taxes, the local taxes going up, the federal taxes going up, Wall Street is the main lobbyist for taxes on the little guy, but almost no taxes on themselves. I mean, this is a
because
criminal.
They're doing God's work. You know, Lloyd Blankfein, I'm doing God's work. That was his explanation. We have to make money because we're like the Vatican of America. We have a direct line with God. If we don't make money, it means that there's no trickle down. There's no trickle down out of the end of our pants, but down onto the faces of those Americans that they're putting out of the street, mud down, face in the mud. The guy is a terrorist. Why come he's not being brought up on charges right now?
And how do you see them? Because we know they've already stolen most of the pension fund money. Bloomberg reported that back in March. And then now we have the Chicago Tribune. Can the Illinois pension catastrophe be stopped? And it goes through the this is actually another article. I didn't know they had a second one. There's another one, the one I covered yesterday. You know, saying, will the pension check not come in the mail was the headline. And they gave the subsection where the states changed the rules to take state employees' pension funds. And what we've seen them do in Argentina and Nigeria and other places is they'll say, we're taking half of it. The government will hold the other half. Your check will be half as big. But if you don't go along with this, you'll lose it all. And then a few years later, they'll steal half of that half, then half of that half. But because they do it in a process, just like the CPS takes your child in a process, people just say, okay, take my pension fund. And the government will say, that's right. Now drink your fluoride and die of cancer, trash. And the police and everybody will say, yes, sir, we love it. And then the cops will take their six-year-old to the doctor and they'll say, your son has leukemia. And the cop will say, good, I love the government. Let's give my son more aspartame drinks and maybe some lithium. I mean, they just love it, don't they, Max?
I think the Argentina comparison is the best one to make. And I've been saying this for years. You know, people make comparisons to different economies during different periods of stress. You know, you look at the Japanese economy, people are saying, oh, deflation like we had in Japan for the last 20 years. But this is different. This is a kleptocracy. You really have to go to Argentina in 2000, 2001. And there's a fantastic 12-part YouTube series on this if you look at collapse in Argentina. And they go through it. And I met actually the filmmaker was here in Paris, and we talked about it a little bit. And it's just a process where the banks and the government get together and they loot the money. And the reason why they're doing this is because the ability for the American economy to generate any growth or inflation at this point is zero, because all of the assets that have been used as collateral to sustain a 25-year borrowing and spending consumer binge are still collapsing in value.
All right, well, let's talk about how the collapse is going to take place with Max Keiser straight ahead, a lot of other key news as well.
You are obsolete, Mr. Wordsworth.
A lie. No man is obsolete.
You have no function, Mr. Wordsworth. You're an anachronism, like a ghost from another time.
I am nothing more than a reminder to you that you cannot destroy truth by burning pages.
You're a bug, Mr. Wordsworth, a crawling insect, an ugly, misformed little creature who has no purpose here, no meaning.
I am a human being.
Words, Mr. Wordsworth, that have no substance and no dimension, like air, like the wind.
I don't care. I tell you, I don't care. I'm a human being. I exist. And if I speak one thought aloud, that thought lives even after I'm shoveled into my grave.
Delusions, Mr. Wordsworth. Delusions that you inject into your veins to make you think you have a strength when you have no strength at all. You have nothing but spindly limbs and a dream. And the state has no use for your kind.
Resistance to tyrants is obedience to God. It's Alex Jones.
Max Keiser is our guest for the rest of the hour. We're about to go right back to him here in just a moment. I wanted to hit some of the news that's up on the network website, GCNlive.com, the letters GCNlive.com. Hal Turner betrayed and burned by government he served, dealing with the government agent neo-Nazi, who they now flush down the toilet, just like the torturers who followed Bush's orders. He comes out and brags he ordered torture, but they go to prison when they get caught. Key article by Kurt Nemo at GCNlive.com. It's also up on Infowars.com. Here's another one. Neocons are prepping us for war with Iran. Ray McGovern. That's at GCNlive.com, and it dovetails with Kurt Nemo's article. We're not saying this. The neocons are saying that they're going to fuel those nuclear reactors on the 21st of this month, and they must be attacked before then. And Ray McGovern agrees that they may green light it the next week. Let's pray that is the case. That article at GCNlive.com. Bob Chapman's got an article, Dreadful Market Predictions, dealing with the Hindenburg Omen. I'm going to ask Max Kaiser about that in just a moment. Another story here in my stack deals with record drug recalls from CNN. I mean, record recalls of powdered milk, of formula, recalls of more and more companies are acting like there's nothing left in the future. And so just criminality and a every man for himself attitude is happening, which is only going to make the crisis worse. It's not going to help all these self-serving yuppies that think it's a virtue to be arrogant, mindless idiots drinking sodium fluoride and lithium. But Max Kaiser dealing with this, I'm sure you saw the report that came out Friday. Harvard has dumped all of its holdings in any Israeli company. Now, I mean, that looks like they know World War III is coming. Why would Harvard dump all their endowment that has tens of billions of dollars in different investments? Why would they dump all their Israeli holdings and move into Chinese holdings?
Well, because Israel is the new apartheid state like South Africa, and they want to divest out of Israel because of this growing movement to divest and boycott Israel, because Israel is operating a ghetto in the form of Palestine, and there's a global movement to punish Israel and to get them out of the ghetto.
Yeah, but Harvard is full of big Israel supporters. I mean, that's where Elena Kagan and Cass Sunstein came from. I mean, I don't think it's because they didn't say why they did it. I think it's because they know war's coming.
Well, they said that Israel's no longer a growth story, and that it's an emerging market, that they're going to now go into other areas like Brazil and China, which they consider to be an emerging market. But look, this Israel is really losing. This is my take on Israel. They're going to attack Iran, and then America is going to do to Israel what they did to the South Vietnamese. They're going to abandon them. And Israel is going to be out there with their you-know-what in their hand, attacking Iran with nobody backing them up. So we're going to go back to 1947, pre-Israel.
Oh, I think when terrorists attack or the government stages attacks, that the U.S. military is going to get behind them.
No, I don't. The U.S. military never gets behind any of their so-called allies. They cut and run. The South Vietnamese are just one example. They're famous for this. They talk big, they flash the big star, they get the Ronald Reagan hat on, and they go, yeah, go over the hill. Then the guys all attack, and then they go, oh, we were just kidding, we're back home, you know, smoking a bowl. You know, we don't really care, we're just here with the world reserve currency, we're writing checks we never have to cash, we're down here at Starbucks slurping up all these fat lattes. We know, go, it's your problem now, buddy.
Oh,
you know, so that's my take. So Harvard knows, basically, that Israel and the shekel are about to crash because Israel is about to commit the stupidest thing of their history. They're going to invade Iran. The shekel's going to crash. Israeli stock market's going to crash. Harvard's like, oh, it's the emerging market. We're going to get out of here. They're greedy little, you know, so-and-so's Harvard.
Well, that
University.
Is one thing I've noticed. These global bankers will even screw their own, and just like Madoff was cheating all these Jews, I think you've got a point there.
Yeah, it's going to crash. Israel's going to crash. The shekel's going to crash. Now, you know, I went on your show last year on record, and I said that online gambling is going to become a reality. Here's a headline from 2 days ago. Federal online gambling legislation clears big hurdle. Sponsored by Barney Frank. Okay, online gambling is coming to America. The casino gulag is coming, Alex.
And then meanwhile, those of us that want to produce and want to be decent, who are fewer and fewer, we're going to be raped seven ways from Sunday, and the government is going to use all its gulag lithium Prozac heads as weapons against anybody who's middle class, and they're going to raise taxes at every level to fund the gulag.
You can convert your methamphetamine habit to a gambling habit and help the U.S. government pay its debt to China. Hey, speaking of truth, you know, Alex, let me take this moment to remind you that on piratemyfilm.com, the Alex in Wonderland project, the symbol is truth, T-R-U-T-H. That's the symbol for the project I have dedicated to you on piratemyfilm.com. You should go to the site immediately and check it out.
And how that works is if people invest in it, then you'll make the film and they'll share in the profit.
Well, we reserve a share right now. When we get to 100%, it's 68% funded. I'm trying to raise $5,000. Once we raise $5,000, we go make the film, then we play it on the internet, and we share the ad revenues with everybody.
It's only $5,000. Your stuff gets seen by millions of people. I should fund Alex in Wonderland. I want to see Max Kaiser make a movie.
I emailed Matt to do this, but he's out there in the back, you know, smoking a cigarette or something. Get that guy Matt. Matt's got to get on the job here. He's slacker. Matt's a slacker.
You know, Matt.
What is he, Generation X?
No. Matt Ryan doesn't smoke, but you've got...
What's he doing? He's driving around his Corvette with the top down, looking at all the girls. He's not doing anything.
No, he's married, but the rest of them are outside smoking cigarettes. Him and Phil. Yeah. No.
Somebody's got to crack the whip over there, Alex, okay? PirateMyFilm.com. The symbol is truth. It's 5,000 is so low because your crew is so a bunch of slackers.
Let's be fair. They come to me every 2 or 3 days with stacks of Max Kaiser emails and ask me to look at them, and then I say I'm too busy because I am.
I don't email anymore. I don't bother with you. I don't care. It doesn't matter because I know that they just use them as rolling paper.
Hey, Max,
rolling paper.
Max, we love having you on. And they're always like, we got Pirate of My Film emails here, and I'm like, great, let Max do it. So it's not their fault. It's my fault, Lord Kaiser.
All right, fine. Well, you're a stand-up guy. You know, that's why you should be running the country over there in America. Why don't you become a senator? You know, Peter Schiff ran for senator. He, unfortunately, the people in Connecticut are too stupid to vote for a smart guy. You know, why don't you become the senator from Texas and go
why
to Washington
and
kick some ass?
Why don't you become emperor and be Maximilian Kaiser, global ruler?
In Europe. In Europe, my friend. I'm making inroads. The globalization of the Max Kaiser meme. But go to piratemyfilm.com. It's truth, T-R-U-T-H, Alex in Wonderland. I can raise the budget, and I want to make Matt or somebody from your crew the official producer on the site. Just send me an email, and I'll make you guys the
No, I'm not involved in your investment operation. If you want to make a movie about me, that's fine. But I mean, tell us about Alex in Wonderland then.
Well, the project, the way Pirate My Film works is you put up a project and you find out what people, you know, what the appetite for the project is. You just reserve a share. If you don't like the way the film is developing, you cancel your reservation. You're not committing any money. Once you get to 100% of the reservations, then you get the email and says, okay, we raised $5,000. Or if you're still interested, we'll debit you $5 and we'll go make this film. But during the process of the few months leading up to it, it can change 100 times, depending on what people really want us to do. So right now, the film is about, Alex Jones goes mainstream in America. Basically, he replaces Larry King, and America finally wakes up, and there's a new dawn in America. But if that idea stinks, people can say, you know what, forget it, I don't like that idea, and it can evolve. But during the whole process, nobody puts up any money. So until it gets to a point where people are like, yeah, I like that idea, then we go make the film, we get a director, we get a producer, then we play it on the web, and the advertising...
I got it, it's very interesting. Now, Max, in the time we've got left with you, some other issues that need to be gotten into. Specifically, you've been predicting this crash. The system shows that they're only going in a direction that'll make it worse. Dr. Paul Craig Roberts, former head of policy at the Treasury, Wall Street Journal editor, he agrees it's being done by design to create a road warrior level collapse. Then the bankers will just move offshore with all the blood they've sucked out of us when we're just a dry skeleton laying in the corner. How do you see this unfolding in the next few months, the next year? What's the time frame here? Because they've gone from saying we're in a wonderful economy to, okay, it's a double-dip recession going into a depression. So they've stopped lying to a certain extent. Where is all this going?
The economy died in 2008. It was dead. Had no heartbeat at all. There's a dead corpse called the U.S. economy. Obama came in with the stimulus, which was basically putting a blood transfusion into a corpse.
Hey, Max, are you joining us via a Skype line?
I'm on my mobile phone.
It's usually good, but it's breaking up. Can you...
Because I'm screaming so much?
No, it's breaking up. Can you climb on top of your house?
I'm standing on top of the Eiffel Tower.
There's too many Parisians on their cell phones right now. It sounds a little fishy.
All right, let me move locations here. How's that? Is that a little better?
Stand on your head.
Well, I'm on my head. Now you want me to stand up regular.
Well, see, now that we're joking around, Kaiser.
Can you hear me any better?
A little bit better. Why don't you go outside?
Are you serious?
It's not working.
Oh, my God.
Oh, it's working. It's working. Okay, what do you see happening with the economy?
All right, look, when you see this sort of quantitative easing, you see this in the press all the time. What does that mean? It means basically that the Federal Reserve Bank, which accepted from Wall Street roughly $3 trillion in their bad loans, they are unable to roll them. They're unable to move them. They're unable to sell them because the system is completely broken. So when I say quantitative easing, what that means is that they are going to print up $3 trillion more dollars.
Max, hold it there. We're going to disconnect and call you right back and see if that fixes the line. Joining us from Paris, the expatriate Max Kaiser, inventor of the Hollywood Stock Exchange, made a lot of very accurate predictions. We're going to get him back on with us. His cell phone's usually better than his landline, and we always have Skype problems with him, or we'd have him via video uplink with us. Of course, he's a TV host with BBC, RT. He's done shows with Al Jazeera. He has his own radio show Saturdays here on Genesis, and he's a very colorful fellow who at least joins us once a month. When a bunch of stuff's happening, he sometimes joins us twice a month. He joined us 2 weeks ago. We re-aired it Thursday when I was hanging out with Jesse Ventura. Wasn't really hanging out. Jesse came here to work on a project with me, his television show. But I had to take off Thursday. Watson sat in for one of the hours. Okay, quantitative easing. They're now admitting that they're monetizing debt, and the Federal Reserve is basically charging us for the right for taxpayers to give them money. Max, please continue.
Right. In other words, the system in 2008, systemically, it completely broke down. This is what people don't understand. Money is not moving at all in the system. There's no credit. There's no loans. It's absolutely dead. So, but the Fed took on board couple of trillion in these awful Wall Street debts. But they can't sell them. They can't roll them. They can't refinance them. So they're going to print up more money. But here's the beautiful thing about it. This is what makes this just an unbelievable thing to watch, is that the Fed will say, we're going to print up $2 trillion more dollars to help roll this bad debt. And on that day, Wall Street will tell the Fed, oh, by the way, did we fail to mention we've got another $5 trillion of bad debt right here that we didn't tell you about? It's exactly what happened in the U.K. The U.K., when the new government came into office under Cameron, they had $800 billion in debt. It was the biggest debt the country had had in generations. The second they came in office, the Treasury reported to number 10 Downing Street, oh, the number's not $800 billion, it's £5 trillion in debt. That's five times their GDP. Same thing's going to happen now. The Fed's going to say, oh, yeah, we're in quantitative easing. We need to print up $2 trillion more in paper to roll this horrible debt. And Wall Street's going to say, oh, by the way, we've got another $5, $6 trillion of bad debt we didn't tell you. So that means that the crisis and the real estate market and the jobs and the wages are going to continue to fall like a rock.
And the best part is we get to have our taxes raised to pay for all this free money we give the bankers, who are also trying to pass carbon taxes to shut down the economy even more, because as they destroy us, all we've got is them, and then they get even more power out of it. And the cops don't know it. The bureaucrats don't know it. The yuppies just know how to have Coach handbags and drink coffee and act cool. And the real men are running around, you know, in their UFC shirts talking about beating up other people. and everybody else is drinking fluoride and sucking their thumb. So this sounds good, Max. This sounds really good.
When you talk about taxpayer, that only people who have jobs pay taxes. I mean, you got 40 million people on food stamps, 40, 50 unemployed and growing every day. You don't have taxpayers in America. You have serfs.
Well, no, those serfs are the weapon system.
Their debts will go up.
And I was also reading how they're having record people sign up for the military now. It's the only job they've got. And now they will police us domestically. This is great. Instead of the welfare guy, sitting there in his welfare house smoking pot on my paycheck, now he'll have a machine gun. And he can hardly talk, but he can sure beat the hell out of me.
People are going to be begging to become taxpayers. They would love to pay tax because it would imply that they actually have a bona fide job.
Well, it really does sound fun, Max. So how long till this completely unravels?
Well, I think the thing is, there's a great story by, it's called The Death of Ivan Ilyich, by a great Russian writer. And it's a story about a man who's dead, and he listens to the people come into the funeral parlor talking about him. And he can still hear him, these people talking about him, even though he's dead. Now, you can hear my voice, Alex. I know you can. But the fact is, America is dead. You think it's alive, but it's a corpse. It's nothing. There's lights are on. Nobody's home. There's no credit. There's no money. It's dead, dead, dead. The only people who don't understand that are the people who live in America, the 5% of the world's population that's become incredibly insignificant. As the rest of the world says, who needs frickin' America anymore? We've got jobs over here in Asia, in the Middle East, and Europe. It's dead, Alex. You're dead. You're a walking dead man.
All right. Boy, that's some good news. Max Keiser, stay with us. You know what concerns me about what Max Keiser is saying? It's like a Christmas carol with Charles Dickens, where Scrooge can, see himself dead, nobody coming to his funeral, with the ghost of Christmas future. Or it's kind of like, to use a Star Trek analogy, the Wrath of Khan, when Spock's been radiated fixing the ship and Kirk's trying to get in and they hold him back and they say, he says, we got to save him. And he says, he's dead already. The elites for 4 years have been acting like this country's dead already, and you've got all these big investment groups dumping all of their Israeli holdings, all of them, including Harvard. You've got them headlong towards World War III. The banks are offshore. They don't care. And it's either us or these global bankers. And these creatures are announcing world government. It's all happening. And so I think what Keiser's saying is we're already irrevocably screwed. Unless we do what Ron Paul and others have said, and what we cover, what's covered in the film The Secret of Oz, and what we've covered here with the maker of that film, unless we have a real awakening, we are dead. I mean, this country still has great wealth and energy if we say no to the parasite. But, Max, it doesn't look like people are ready to accept that. They're starting to wake up, but I look at Europe. They've got big debt ratios and other big problems as well. Europe's not even replacing itself, a 1.3 replacement level. So you always feel a little snug over there in your redoubt, in your keep, but I don't think you're in good shape either there in Paris, buddy.
No, the Federal Reserve Bank is not owned by the U.S. It's the only reserve bank in the world that's not owned by the country itself.
No, I know. We're a joke.
Let me talk. The bailout from Hank Paulson in 2008, where'd that money go? European banks. The European banks can always rely on the American taxpayer to bail them out through vis-a-vis AIG or Goldman Sachs because we own you. Okay, you guys are the weak hand at the poker table. You're the chump at the poker table. Now, whether you're talking Star Trek or Tolstoy, who wrote The Death of Ivan Ilyich, I'll give you one upside here. When the dollar collapses, as it inevitably will, one thing that America has that'll be priced competitively on the world market is cotton. Cotton will be king again. So, Alex, I got a song for you. I want all your listeners to listen to this song and learn this song. Jump down, turn around, pick a bale of cotton. Jump down, turn around, pick a bale of two. I'm a slave now, picking all my cotton. I'm a slave now, working for the Wall Street. Jump, you get my point? You're all a bunch of slaves
now. I owe my soul to the company store.
That's right. Cotton will be competitive. You'll all be cotton farmers. You'll be picking cotton down there on the plantation. And that's where it'll save America. You're going right back to pre-Civil War America. And that's exactly a round trip to nowhere.
And we'll have carpetbaggers. We'll have carpetbaggers running around with armed forces robbing us.
That's me. I'm here in Europe. I can pick off you guys from Europe as easy as getting online. I'll buy Corrections Corp of America all day long. Stock's going to double because nobody's going to stop going to prison to make Wall Street more money. Now, I'll buy Verizon. I'll buy Google because no one there is going to stop to help themselves. What's the point? It's like shooting fish in a barrel. Nobody's going to stop to help themselves.
Max, you are not an immoral. You're not an immoral person. You're illustrating absurdity by being absurd. You're not really going to do that, are you?
Well, Alex, if somebody is not going to, you know,
people are waking up, Max.
The gene pool has to be scrubbed of the stupid people.
Well, I got news for you. The stupid people work for the government. They're coming for you, Max.
That's my biggest listener.
Max, France is dead. France is dead. You're a dead man. You just don't know it yet. You can look across from your pile of crap and tell me that I'm knee-deep in a pig pie, but so are you, pal. Smell it. It ain't daisies. You're sitting in the same situation. This is a new world order, Max.
You're always rallying, my friend. We're doing well.
Hey, well, let me tell you this. As the center of the empire and having to fund this whorehouse, we are in worse shape. But we're all in this together, Max. And free humanity is going to defeat the New World Order. We don't have a choice, my friend. We can't let them demoralize us. We have just begun to fight, and we're going to crush them. Max Kaiser, let me say bye to you at the end of the show. But Hamid Ghul coming up. Incredible information straight ahead at InfoWars.com.